If you were not here last Sunday, we began a sermon series that we entitled The Pharisee in Me. And we are going to continue with that train of thought here this morning. The Lord has put two more topics or characteristics upon my heart, and I want to bring them to you today. But if you'd like to read our text, we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 16. Last Sunday, we read a great deal of the scripture. This Sunday, I just want to read two verses to you from Matthew chapter 16. They're going to be verse number 6 and verse number 12. So Matthew chapter 16, verse number 6 and verse number 12. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then skip down, if you will, to verse number 12. Then understood the disciples how that he bid them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So we're going to stop reading right there. I will ask that you bow your heads and let's all pray together and ask the Lord for his help in ministering the word of God today. Father, I'm so very, very thankful that you have allowed us together here once again. And Lord, I am grateful for the opportunity to minister your word. We have enjoyed worship, and we have enjoyed singing, and we have enjoyed lifting your name on high. We come to the reading and the ministry of your word this morning, and I realize and I know all too well that in my own self I am incapable of the task that is before me. But I also know, Father, that if you will anoint me with your anointing and if you will touch me with your anointing, then the Holy Spirit can enable me and use me as an instrument in your hand. And I would pray this morning, Lord, that that is the case, that you would allow the anointing of the Holy Spirit to rest upon me, that you would put your thoughts in my mind and your words in my mouth, and that you would enable me and bless me that I might be a blessing in sharing your word. I pray that Jesus Christ in everything that is said and in everything that is done this morning, Lord, would be glorified and that his people would be edified. And Lord, for all of these things, we will give you the praise and give you the thanks. Give me liberty now. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So last week we began to identify some of the prominent characteristics of the Pharisees that Jesus warns his disciples about when he says to them in our text, Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Understand that Jesus is using leaven as a metaphor for the doctrine or the teachings of the Pharisees. He's saying to them, beware of their actions and beware of their philosophy. Beware of their doctrine and their dogma. He's saying to his disciples that there is something about the Pharisees that is like leaven. There is something about their religious piety that if you're not careful, it will end up affecting every area of your life. He's saying there's something about their character and their attitude that will not only hinder your relationship with God, but it will end up destroying your relationship with God. On the surface, we all know that the Pharisees appeared to be devout and righteous. They appeared to be spiritual and committed. They were, as we said last Sunday, the self-proclaimed champions of traditional values, traditional godly values. They were the defenders of godly principles and righteousness. They were avid students of God's word. They were devout and they kept the letter of the law, but Jesus called them hypocrites and the sons of hell. Jesus said that they were blind, leaders of the blind. They were serpents and they were white tombs that were filled with dead men's bones. They considered themselves to be faithful and approved of God. And in reality, they were filled with a pious, arrogant attitude, filled with self-pride, and they were a stink in the nostrils of God. As we began last week, we began to try to define the beginning or the origin of the Pharisees, and we traced it back to the book of Ezra, chapter 6 and chapter 7. Let me just recap a little bit of what we shared last week for some of you that may not have been here. But this group of Pharisees, when they began, they started out some 535 years before the ministry of Jesus. And they began with good intentions. They had started out with a sincere desire to serve the Lord. And by the time that we reached the ministry of Jesus, this group that had started out with the right intentions had morphed into a group that Jesus said in chapter Mark, he said, you would rather follow the traditions of men than the commandments of God. They started out on the right track, and then they morphed into a group that Jesus said, you have made the word of God of none effect by your teachings and by your traditions. Ultimately, we concluded last Sunday that knowing what we know about the Pharisees and knowing what Jesus said about the Pharisees, we determined that none of us want to be a Pharisee. Amen. And yet, too often, we find that their actions and their attitudes are creeping into our own lives. So the question became and becomes, how can we know how much Pharisee resides within us? How can we identify the attitudes and the characteristics that the Pharisees displayed? And we began to identify or try to identify the Pharisee in me. Last week I shared with those who were here two prominent characteristics. The first being, I want to share with you just briefly the two that I shared last week, and then we'll move on to two more, and then we will conclude this series. But last week, the first characteristic that reveals the Pharisee in us is that we often find it hard to see others receive grace instead of justice. The Pharisee in me becomes angry when others receive more than what they have earned. The attitude of the Pharisee in me has no room for God blessing a person when they haven't behaved or acted in a manner that is consistent with my beliefs. The attitude of the Pharisee in me says if they don't believe it the way I believe it, and if they don't look like me, if they don't act like me, if they don't talk like me, if they don't live like I live, if they don't live up to my expectations, then God cannot bless them on a certain level. Hello? Amen. The attitude of the Pharisee in me does not want to see anyone receive something that they haven't earned. If they haven't lived up to a certain standard, if they haven't lived up, I used a couple of illustrations. We see others that don't come to church as often as we do or as often as we think that they should. And when God blesses them, the Pharisee in me rises up and says, they don't deserve that. That's not fair. Hello? see someone driving a new car and we know they don't give like we give, and we think there must be some kind of mistake in heaven that God gave them this kind of a blessing. What I'm saying this morning is if we find it hard to see others blessed beyond their effort, if we find it hard to see God's grace in action by Him bringing a special blessing into someone's life, and instead of rejoicing over God's goodness, we become agitated or we become irritated because we don't think they've earned it by living right, there might just be a little too much Pharisee in our life. The second point that we talked about last week, the Pharisee in me gets bent out of shape when I want God to dish out some vengeance, and instead he pours out His grace and His mercy. Because the second characteristic that reveals the Pharisee in me is I don't want to see them get them more than what they have earned, but I sure do want to see them get what they deserve. Hello? Amen. Somebody mistreats us and I'm just going to hang around and wait till God gives you yours. Wrong attitude. Wrong attitude. The Pharisee in me gets bent out of shape when I want God to open the windows of heaven and rain down judgment, and instead He rains out grace and mercy, and I get all upset about it. I said last week, if we can't praise God, amen, when our enemies get blessed who we are supposed to pray for, there just might be a little bit of Pharisee hidden in our heart. So the first two points, the Pharisee in me becomes angry when others receive more than what they've earned. The second point, the Pharisee in me wants to see them get exactly what they deserve. Can I just stop and just ask you a question real quick this morning? What if you got exactly what you deserve? That's good point. We don't want that. So we're going to move forward this morning, and I love you people for returning this Sunday, because it ain't going to get much better. But I am going to share with you the truth and what the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart. The third characteristic that I feel like the Holy Spirit wanted me to bring to you is that the Pharisee in us, we are always constantly comparing ourselves with one another. We are always constantly comparing ourselves with one another. Our motto often is, I may not be as good as that guy, but I'm a whole lot better than that guy. Hello? Our motto is, I may not have it all together, but that guy or that gal over there, they are a mess. They need to get their act together. We are comparing ourselves among ourselves as if we are the standard to live up to. Let me just share with you this morning, you are not the standard. I'm not the standard. Jesus is our standard. Amen. I don't want to live up to your life. You don't need to live up to my life. We all need to live up to the life that He led. In reality, what we are doing when we are comparing ourselves among ourselves is we are using someone else as our measuring stick. We are using them for the standard to live by. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12, Paul the Apostle said these words. He said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with them that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. What in the world does that mean? Paul is saying, Don't be part of the crowd that commend themselves by comparing themselves. Don't be part of that crowd. Don't be part of the crowd that commend their actions by judging their actions according to the deeds and the acts of someone else. Jesus told the story of a legalistic Pharisee and a wicked taxpayer or a tax collector. And both had come into the temple, and I'm going to ask you to turn over there. We'll read it together. It's Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through verse 14. Here is a perfect example, Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. Here is a perfect example of what I'm talking about, comparing ourselves among ourselves. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18, verse 9, and he, Jesus, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. And Jesus begins by saying, two men went up into the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee and the other a publican, not a Republican, but a publican, a sinner, an individual that didn't have a relationship with God. Verse 11, and the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, and this is what the Pharisee said. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men are. I thank you that I am not an extortioner, unjust, or an adulterer, or even as this publican, this sinner. He's comparing himself among himself, or among themselves. He's comparing himself with this guy. I may not have my act together, but I'm better than he is. Hello? The Pharisee stands praying, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this guy. Thank you that I'm not an extortioner and that I'm not unjust or an adulterer and that all of my ways are pure. Thank you that I got it all together. I'm not like that guy. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. He's bragging on his deeds, the things that he does. And the publican, Jesus said in verse 13, standing afar off, would not even so much as lift up his eyes. But he smote his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know what I am. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said in verse 14, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. The Pharisee stands loud and proud before God, and he compares himself with somebody else that he feels like ain't got it all together. He says, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that guy. I can almost see it in my mind. They're standing in the temple. The sinner will just, I mean, he wouldn't even lift, he wouldn't even look up, would just stood with his hands on his chest and said, oh God, forgive me, a sinner. And the Pharisee looks at him and says, with this smug, warm feeling all over his heart, thank you, God, that I'm not like he is. Thank you that I give of all that I have. Thank you that I'm not an adulterer. Thank you. And he passionately thanks God that he's not like this person. He passionately thanks God that he's got it together more than this guy. I would submit to you that the statements that the Pharisee made are more of a proclamation than a prayer. They're more of a declaration of who he feels he is before God. And the tax collector, he wouldn't even lift up his eyes. And then when they come to the final end of the story, Jesus literally drops the mic and says, I tell you that this sinner went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. And the Pharisees, I could almost see them just howling, like, oh, what do you mean? This tax collector, what do you mean this tax collector went down to his house justified? Don't you know that this tax collector, amen, receives taxes of the Jews, and he has given himself over to the pagan Roman government. He's an agent of their service, and he skims off the top of everything that he collects from his own people. He's the worst kind of guy that there is. What do you mean? He went home justified rather than the Pharisee. I mean, the Pharisee fasts and prays. Looks like he's got it all together. Jesus said, I tell you that this sinner went down to his house. The Pharisee in the story relied on his deeds and relied on his works, his tithing and his praying to justify himself before God. Let me just share with you this morning that this little story here in Luke that we just read is absolutely a textbook example of legalism. Comparing ourselves to someone else. Comparing ourselves to someone else. But the telltale sign of the Pharisees' legalism is the fact that he compares himself with the tax collector. Thank God I am not like that man. And many of us sitting here this morning would say, Pastor Gary, I would never do such a thing. I would never do such a thing. And I believe you, I believe you. But let me ask you this. How many of us have ever said something to this effect? Thank God I don't parent my children like they do. Thank God I don't treat my wife like he does. Well, the way he treats his wife is just something else. Thank God I don't arrive late to church every Sunday morning like that family. Hello? We're comparing ourselves among ourselves. Then people go through money like water. Thank God I don't treat my finances the way they treat their finances. Well, let me just stop and remind you, they're not your finances. Thank God I don't watch some of the movies that they watch. Hello? Isn't that a bit smug? Isn't that, thank God I keep myself in better shape than they do. Somebody handed me some Valentine goodies out here, and I just looked at them and put on 5 pounds. I haven't even ate them. What I'm trying to point out this morning is that it is the same attitude as the Pharisee, and it sneaks into our life in such a slippery way that we don't even realize that we're doing it. It slips into our life in such a subtle way, but understand that when we compare our moral achievements to someone else and then get satisfaction in the difference or from the difference, that's legalism. Let me say that again. When we compare ourselves and our achievements to someone else and then we get satisfaction from the difference, that's legalism. That's the Pharisee in me. The Pharisee in your mirror. And it slips in such a subtle way. Let me just tell you this morning, if the only way that you can elevate yourself is by putting someone else down, you got a problem. If the only way that you can make yourself look good is the fact that you got to put somebody else down to do it, you got some issues. Hello? We're basically saying when we act that way, God, I'm grateful that I am more righteous than they are. We got to stop comparing ourselves among ourselves and realize that those that are around us, they are not our servants. They do not answer to us. They are God's servants, and they will answer to Him for their actions. Nobody died and left us in charge. Hello? The one that died rose again and he's still in charge. Amen. So, number one, the Pharisee in me becomes angry when others receive more than they've earned. Number two, the Pharisee in me wants to see them get exactly what they deserve. Number three, the Pharisee in me is always comparing myself to someone else to see how I measure up. Stop. Stop. Stop comparing yourself among yourself. Stop looking at others' lives and trying to live up to this or live up to that. Just humble yourself before the Lord like the sinner here in our text or in our reading that we read in Luke. Just humble yourself before the Lord. He said he's the one that went home justified. Number four, the fourth characteristic that reveals the Pharisee in us is the lack of spiritual joy. Now, you may think I've gone off the rail here, but just kind of stick with me for a moment. The fourth characteristic that reveals that there is a Pharisee in us is the lack of spiritual joy. Do you realize that it's impossible for to be a legalistic person and to have true spiritual joy? You can't do it. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? True spiritual joy comes from knowing that our sins have been forgiven and that we have a right relationship with God. Amen. Somebody said, well, you know, I mean, that doesn't always make me happy. No, understand that happiness and joy are two different things. Happiness is a human emotion based upon our current circumstances. True joy is knowing to whom you belong and to whom, amen, resides in your heart, and knowing that your past has been forgiven and your future has been secured and that you are a child of the living God. That is what brings true joy into your life. Misery and hopelessness and anxiety all come from trying to earn God's approval. Misery and hopelessness and anxiety, amen, come from trying to earn God's forgiveness. When we try to live our life by earning God's forgiveness, and we live our life trying to earn God's approval by our works and our deeds, we make our salvation performance-based. And when we fall short, and I promise you that you will, and when we fall short, then all that is left is an empty, sinking feeling of that I have failed again. You understand what I'm saying? And it robs our joy. I promise you, the Bible teaches that none of us can do good enough to win God's approval. The Bible said that our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. So what gives us the approval of God? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. the final song that we sang, He is our righteousness. He is our only source of right standing with God. Amen. Understand that when we try to win God's approval or earn God's approval by our deeds and our actions, our good works do not save us. Yes, we were saved unto good works, meaning that we should do good, but the good part that we do is not what saves us. It's the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And when we fall short, if there is a Pharisee in me and a Pharisee in your life that's making you trying to do this and do that and trying to strive to earn, it'll rob you of your joy. It'll rob you of the spiritual joy that God wants you to have. If we are always dealing with a nagging guilt that comes from feeling like we don't ever do enough, I'm preaching to somebody. Anybody here, and you don't have to lift your hand, don't bump your neighbor or anything like that, but anybody in here that, ever had the enemy come along, sit down on your shoulder and say, you should do more. You should pray more. You should read your Bible more. You should. And you feel about that big. Hello? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't read your Bible. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray. But I'm saying it doesn't matter how many days or how many minutes of the day you read your Bible or how many minutes of the day you pray. That's not what saves you. That's not what makes you right with God. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ is the only thing that makes you right with God. That's right. The only thing that makes you approved of God. Amen. But if you have ever had the enemy or that nagging feeling or that nagging guilt that you never do enough, like we never evangelize enough, we never pray enough, we don't read the Bible enough, God is never happy with me. Hello? God is never happy with me. And we beat ourselves up because we don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that. And we feel like we will never measure up to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. I'll never be like that. Hello? If we feel like that we have to earn God's favor instead of receiving it freely through the finished work of the cross, we need to understand that those attitudes are Pharisaical attitudes. That is the Pharisee in us trying to earn his salvation, trying to earn his right standing with God. But let me just share with you this morning that if you believe the gospel and you receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, it will bring a wonderful liberating freedom to your life, because you will understand that we don't earn our salvation. It was a free gift given by Jesus Christ when he died upon Calvary to set the human race free. The gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen, the Bible said, is eternal life. It is a free gift. Oh, what joy and what liberation that brings to my life. Knowing that I don't have to try to earn, I don't have to dot every I, cross every T. I just need to maintain my relationship with Jesus. It's not about a list of rules and regulations. It's about falling in love with Christ. Amen. And when I fall in love with him, there are just some things I don't want to do anymore. Because he changed my heart. He changed my life. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? Being a legalistic Christian and having joy simply do not mix. The psalmist David wrote in Psalms chapter 32 and verse number 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sins are covered. When we truly understand the depth of our sinfulness and the extent of our forgiveness, the only thing that is left
amen, the result of understanding the depth of our sinfulness and the depth or the extent of our forgiveness is an overwhelming joy, amen, that's unspeakable and full of glory that causes us to want to thank God for our great and eternal salvation. How can we not experience joy when we realize that all of our sins have been forgotten? All of our sins have been forgiven. The Bible said, cast as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. Maybe you haven't done anything that you know, was so bad that you would just shout because you've been forgiven, but I can tell you what I have. Hello? He who loves much and who has been forgiven much loves much. I can just tell you this morning that, amen, I am grateful that my sins, amen, which were many, have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. I'm thankful this morning, amen, for the reconciliation that Christ has brought into my life. And when I stop and think about the goodness of God and from where he has brought me from, it puts a joy in my heart and a joy in my spirit that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. How can we not experience joy when we realize that the wrath of God for our sins has been completely satisfied in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Pharisee in me doesn't spend much time dwelling on the staggering forgiveness that I have received. But the Pharisee in me is focused on all that I have done, all that I have done, or even all that I have not done. What I'm saying this morning is when you have that attitude creep into your life, and the enemy says, you know, you haven't done this, and you haven't done that, and look what you have done, and look what you did, and all that kind of thing. That, understand, that is a Pharisaical attitude. It came to do nothing but rob you of your joy in Christ Jesus. We need to understand that legalism is a thief. And instead of focusing on the finished work of Christ, the Pharisee in me is constantly focused on what I must do to gain God's approval. And the result of it, amen, the result of that is a stealing of my joy. Because I can never live up. I could never earn my salvation. I could never do enough to be right and have God's approval in my own self. But please understand, we don't have to. The Pharisees thought they had to do in order to be right with God. Jesus said, you do all of these things, but your heart is still far from me. Your heart is still not right. Understand that it's a change of the heart that needs to happen. And that happens when we receive the gift of God's salvation. And when we realize the grace and the forgiveness that we have received are a free gift of God, there is an explosion of gratitude and an explosion of joy in our heart. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 35 and verse number 9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. My soul shall rejoice in the God of my salvation. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse number 3, Isaiah said, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the well of your salvation. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10, Isaiah said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he's covered me with a robe of righteousness, right standing with God. Romans 14 and 17 said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not about a list of rules. Amen. But it is peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God's people ought to be filled with joy. But if the Pharisee in us, if that Pharisaical attitude resides in us, it will steal our joy. If there is a supreme lack of spiritual joy in your life, I encourage you this morning to understand that it is a free gift of our God. There just might be a little more Pharisee in some of us than we like to admit. So it brings me to the close of the sermon, and I want to ask a question. What should we do if we find a Pharisee in me? What should we do if we find some of those Pharisaical attitudes in our life? How can we escape the misery of being legalistic? How can we escape the chains of legalism? I don't want to oversimplify this point, but I want to give you the solution. We must keep our eyes upon the Lord. We must keep our eyes upon the Lord. We must constantly remind ourselves that we are not saved by works, deeds. We are saved unto good works, but we're not saved by our good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and verse number 9, Paul said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." What Paul was saying is, we're not saved by our works, so nobody gets to brag. Nobody gets to brag about how good they are. Nobody gets to brag about how much they've done. Doesn't matter. How can we banish the Pharisee in me? Every time that we take a look at ourselves, take 10 looks toward the cross. And remember that it was there at Calvary that He, Jesus Christ, paid the price that we might be free. He paid a debt that He did not owe so that He could pay that debt for us, a people that could never pay that debt. And it is only through the grace and the mercy of God, the goodness of God, that we are saved. I'm going to conclude this morning by saying, I submit that Christ desires for His followers to practice the gift of love, the gifts of unity, the gift of mercy and peace and commitment. I submit that it is the desire of our God, amen, this morning that His followers would encourage and pray and build up and edify the body of Christ instead of having a Pharisaical attitude looking down our nose at someone else. There is a stark difference between a committed follower of Jesus and a modern day Pharisee. And I've encountered both in the church. Hello? I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church world. I've been around it a long time. I've encountered both. I've encountered true followers and I've encountered some Pharisees. I've met them both. Some of the Pharisees, you know, think they are God's watchdog. Well, let me just share with you, you know, that, I mean, you know, God doesn't need a watchdog. He has the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit can do more in moments than, you know, the watchdog can do. Jesus came to fulfill the law, and He did. Here's how He did it. He nailed it to the cross. He nailed the law and the ordinances that were against us to the cross. He fulfilled it. Jesus came to love the lost, the hurting, and the outcast, and that should be our attitude. He came to search for those that were lost and those that were hurting and those that had been ostracized, and that should be our mission as well. Jesus set the Pharisees in their place, and I submit to you this morning that we need to set the Pharisee in me in his place. The Pharisee in you in his place. That we might serve God with a pure and honest heart. Bow your heads, if you will. Bow your heads, please. The Pharisee in me becomes angry when others receive more than they have earned. Is that you? Do you look at the life of someone and say, well, they're just not living good enough for God to bless them like that? I think they're getting more than they deserve. The Pharisee in me wants them to get exactly what they deserve. If somebody, you know, mistreated you and you said, sick them, Lord God, just give them, make sure they get what they got coming to them. Wrong attitude. Wrong attitude. The Pharisee in me is always comparing myself to others around me. Are you even, you know, even in your own household, are you looking around going, boy, I wish I could be more like them. And boy, you know, or you know, I may not have it all together, but I'm better than they are. Wrong attitude. The Pharisee in me lacks joy. Lacks joy because joy and the Pharisaical attitude cannot exist in the same place. As we bow our heads this morning and pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, I have endeavored to minister what I feel that you have laid upon my heart. And Lord, I don't know individuals' hearts, but I do know, Lord, that we are all guilty at some point or time of allowing the Pharisaical attitude to rise up in us, causing us to prejudge someone else. Looking at their life and discounting it so that we may elevate our own self in our sight. Lord, the Pharisee in us that rises up and tries to earn your approval instead of just simply resting in the completed work of Jesus. That attitude will rob us of our joy because we'll never be able to earn your approval. It's not about earning your approval. It's about having a relationship with Jesus. Following in his footsteps, keeping our heart right in his sight. Lord, I pray this morning if there is one individual that's here that would be willing to slip up their hand and say, Lord, there's a little Pharisee in me. Speak to their heart. Touch their lives. Let us change our ways, I pray in Christ's name. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Are you here this morning and you would be willing to say, Pastor Gary, you preach some of this right at me this morning. God sees your hands. Yes, 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 yes. Pastor Gary, I have a little Pharisee in me. I want to put in his place this morning. Any more hands, you'd say, that's me. Subtle. I never even realized it. Never even realized it, but subtle. The Pharisee rises up in me. Hands lifted all over the building this morning. Stand to your feet if you will and allow me to pray for you just before they come and sing again. Oh, Heavenly Father, our God, whom we love and who we adore, help us to banish the Pharisaical attitudes of our life. Help us to be more like Christ and less like religious men. Help us be more like Jesus and less like some of the Pharisaical attitudes that we have talked about. Help us to banish those attitudes from our life. Fill that void with the anointing of your Holy Spirit. As you remove those attitudes from us, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that the fruit of your Spirit may be absolutely overwhelmingly evident in our life. Fill us with love and joy and peace and temperance and meekness and kindness and brotherly love. As those attitudes empty from us, fill us with replacement parts. Fill us with replacement, with joy and peace and long suffering, that we may be lights in a darkened world. That when others look upon our life, it is the reflection of Jesus who lives within us. We ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. We've heard it. Help us apply it. In the name of the Lord, we pray. Amen.